It's 9:30 on a Thursday, which means it's time to talk KU football and basketball as well with the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. And Brian's appearance is brought to you each and every week on the Sports Ticket by Matt and Michelle at Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see them at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or give them a call at 738-5701. Mr. Haney, how you doing on this Thursday?
Doing well, Wade. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, we kind of have kind of a scale of football being really rough on Saturday night against TCU. Most people know that by now. And then you turn around within 24 hours, have the euphoria of KU Missouri exhibition basketball. That was quite the change, wasn't it, in a short period of time for you?
Yeah, it was. It was pretty wild. And obviously, you know, it's been a couple of weeks without having a chance to call many scoring plays, or any for that matter. But to get to see that somewhat of a shootout for a good portion of that game on Sunday on the hardwood was definitely a breath of fresh air. Now, we're clearly still all in on KU football and excited to see the improvement that's going to come this week in the Dillon Sunflower Showdown, I genuinely believe. But having said that, just to call it like it is, you know, Sunday did come at a good time. You know, we got back in from TCU at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday, and we were all running on about 3 hours sleep. But when it's the border showdown, you're running on adrenaline, and it was great to see the way both those fan bases showed up and were so engaged and locked in. It was a special, special atmosphere that felt a lot like a Big 12 tournament title game, or maybe even an NCAA tournament game. And to be honest, while I wasn't probably quite as nervous or anxious in this one as I was in the Elite Eight versus Oregon, sitting in the exact same seat in the exact same arena, I was probably just as charged, and that's weird to say for an October exhibition basketball game. But when it's Missouri, you tend to dig a little bit deeper and dial it up a little bit higher. And our crowd certainly did that. Our players did that, even though only a few of them knew anything about the rivalry in terms of growing up around it. And so it was great to see the way that unfolded. Really a perfect day, because they double their goal in terms of the money raised. You are able to knock off a Missouri team that clearly is going to be an NCAA tournament caliber foe. And then on top of that, I think for a young Kansas team at certain spots, like Udoka Azubuike, your best post player, Billy Preston, your number two big, I mean, these are guys that needed to play in a big-time atmosphere against a quality opponent, because while clearly they're going to play in front of 16,300 for two more exhibition games and then one more home game before they head to Chicago, this is the closest type of atmosphere and setting they could simulate what they'll have in the Classic versus Kentucky. And so I think a guy like Udoka is going to have loads more confidence, having performed the way he did in this one, in that arena against an opponent that good, between, you know, comparing that to, like, say, Italy exhibitions or your first two, you know, Pittsburgh State-caliber exhibition games here, and then all of a sudden flipping the switch and it's Kentucky at the United Center, you know, mid-November. To me, you come out so much better for it, having played this game on so many levels. So it was really the perfect way to spend a Sunday.
When you look at it from afar and in the full scope of things, and I'm saying from both the KU and Missouri perspective, this was kind of the best-case scenario all the way around, wasn't it? It was KU, you know, supposed to win the game. They did win the game. Missouri was up at halftime. Missouri had many flashes of brilliance during this game and tremendous talent and young talent on their team led by Porter. And then they make a run after KU makes the big run in the second half. They cut it down to six, certainly make it respectable. And so KU's supposed to win the game. They did. Coach Self gets his team, some young players, as you just mentioned, with that experience in a big-time atmosphere. So does Quanzo Martin. And then also, I think you guys referred to it on the pregame show, and I think in the postgame show, Bill Self, when he was spoken to there by Greg Gurley, had said something about now the kids, I think, understand what I'm trying to say. You can't just go get that rebound. You got to go get that rebound. And when you guys went overseas to Italy, the competition wasn't as tough as maybe you guys had hoped it would be. And then you come back and you get this game under your belt. Even though it's an exhibition game, it gives Coach Self something else to show the players, listen, this is what I've been preaching all along. Maybe you weren't listening. Now you understand. This isn't Team Italy. This is Missouri. This is a bona fide foe.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think you heard that in Coach Self's voice in the interview you just spoke to. And then from what Greg Gurley told me he witnessed in the locker room, it was a pretty amped Coach Self. And, you know, this is a chance to not only see how they stack up with a good barometer against major conference competition, but a chance to really, you know, light that fire underneath certain guys before you're having to do it after a loss. Not that they needed that at all. You know, anytime this season, you've got certain guys that are pushing harder than others and that kind of thing. But I think, you know, he got on Svi and Malik for playing soft for the first half. He got on all his guys for getting punked, to quote Coach Self and Sherrod Collins, on the boards in terms of rebounding. And you'd much rather have that chance to light that fuse right now versus doing so after Chicago, after maybe a setback in the Champions Classic where you didn't quite bring it and you got exposed for, you know, the fact that you're up against a top four opponent. Now, obviously, they could still lose that game, but I think Kansas is so much better off for it heading into that one, which is still 3 weeks away, mind you. I'm not trying to jump ahead of the next three, but this was the closest thing to that you're going to see between now and then. And I think for certain guys, it was a good measuring stick on where they're at, what they need to bring, and what it's going to feel like under the bright lights and big time stage of a game like that early in the year. And by the way, you know, we got 1, 2, 3, and 4. The four teams on display in the Champions Classic are also the first four teams in the poll. So, man, you want to get a good taste test of what college basketball is going to look like on an elite level this year, it's right around the corner.
There have been a lot of people that have talked about, and I think that, and we've talked about this a little bit last week with you on our interview, and that was, you know, whether the chances of KU Missouri doing this on a regular basis in regards to maybe playing each other again after a 5-year hiatus. And one of the things I saw on Twitter, and I thought it was a good idea, was, okay, odds are Kansas is not going to play Missouri during the regular season. The only time they'll play will be if they get matched up in the NCAA tournament, which that would be quite the atmosphere there too. But what about this idea, Brian? There are always people in need. There are always charities and fundraisers you can have. You talked about how much money that they brought in. It was amazing, doubled what they anticipated, nearly $2 million. And granted, it's for hurricane relief. But I'm going to tell you right now, Puerto Rico, a year from now, is still going to need help. And there's going to probably be other disasters and things that we're going to deal with a year from now. The idea I saw on Twitter was, from a good friend of mine, what about just making this, and I don't know if the NCAA would allow this or not, but if it was under the same parameters, to just make this a regular exhibition game between Missouri and Kansas at Sprint Center. You can do that every year. And it raises money for charity or charities. It could be the charity of choice for the University of Missouri, charity of choice for the University of Kansas, or it could be the same charity all in one. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I don't know that you'll have the same results every single
sure.
year because, you know, there was a 5-year, 8-month build-up and a lot of pent-up, you know, we miss these guys, we hate these guys, we want a shot at these guys type thing amongst the fan base and all of that. That if it was an every year thing, it might lose a little bit of luster. But hey, who's not going to buy a ticket to go see KU Mizzou if you have a chance to do it right there on the border on Kansas City and at the Sprint Center? I mean, I think you'd sell out every year with almost as much quickness to the sellout as we saw this year. I don't think that they would make $646,000 on pay per view every year if that was the case. Because it was, you know, first time in almost 6 years. But, hey, man, if you could raise a cool million every single October for folks in need, and as you said, the needs in Puerto Rico are going to extend well beyond the first 12 months. You know, I think, not to make too hard of a left turn here, but you raise a really good point about human nature in general when it comes to rushing to the aid of someone in need.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a loved one that just lost a spouse, and you line up casserole dishes for the first 2 weeks, and then you go back to your norm.
Yes.
You go back to your day-to-day, your reality. That person's still grieving and dealing with loss for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And I just kind of think, well, you know, I sent my tuna casserole on Tuesday. I'm good. You know, this was amazing that they raised almost $2 million. And I know the folks in all parts of the hurricane devastation that they're donating to, where Texas, Florida, U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico will be so appreciative. But, man, the rebuild goes on for a long time to come. And if you have a chance to make even half that or a quarter of that next season, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what the two schools feel on that. But you know what? I felt, obviously, a similar vibe in terms of how bad both schools wanted it. But I felt this overriding... I don't want to say unity between the two because it's okay, UMassU.
Right.
But there was this innate, hey, we're Americans helping other Americans, helping folks in the U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, you know, make it through this horrible devastation. And yeah, we still don't like you. We still want to beat your brains in, but we're rallying together. I mean, Norm Stewart came on the Jayhawk Network postgame.
I heard that. Yeah.
So we can get together. And by the way, he was so gracious. We got to talk about that in a second. So I think that, you know, this is the perfect dance partner each year to do that with, should the two schools elect to do it. And I think you could raise a boatload of money every year. Maybe not with as much enthusiasm as this first one, based on how recent the storms were and how long it had been between these two schools got together. But if you have that platform and you have that position of influence, why not utilize it? And kudos to Bill Self for being the driving force behind this. And Bill Self Sr., who actually came up with the idea 12 years earlier after Hurricane Katrina hit, that's a point that can't be lost either. So I hope it is something we see more of, absolutely. And I don't know if they'd agree to do it every year, but certainly there's nobody KU could schedule that would bring that much excitement and intensity to Kansas City than Mizzou. And we don't even get into K-State versus Missouri State in terms of trying to compare other relief games. This was the ticket. Anywhere in the country, this was the best formation you were going to get of a quickly assembled exhibition game. And boy, oh boy, was it ever a huge success.
Okay, so I'm going to take it one step further now with this idea that my friend mentioned on Twitter. And I'm sure other people had this idea as well. What if you have, it's kind of like a major boxing match, you have an undercard, and you have Wichita State wants to play KU, K-State really badly, you know? What if K-State and Wichita State, be at Sprint Center, they play a game at 1 or 2 o'clock, and then KU, Missouri play at 5, and do that on a Sunday, just like you did the other day, and have a doubleheader, and now you've got Wichita State's involved, you've got all three Kansas schools involved, the Division I, and you still have KU, Missouri. And you don't have to worry about Wichita State whining. Well, they will whine no matter what about not playing KU or not. But at least that gives them, you know what I'm saying, to kind of throw them a bone. You play K-State, and it's exhibition. It doesn't count versus the regular records. I saw somebody else mention that on Twitter, and I thought that, too, was a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. You know, I didn't read into the specifics on this, but North Carolina played two different schools for a half against each. I thought that was interesting.
Hmm.
But I like your idea better, getting four schools involved, doubleheader. And honestly, you could sell a higher price ticket to see both games, or you could clear out the arena.
Yep.
and try and bring in a whole separate audience. By the way, you'd be making twice the money. And you're right, Wichita State is a much bigger draw than a Missouri State or something like that. And so I think that would absolutely be the way to go. And then you'd have, you know, two top five teams in the building and four teams that all have tournament aspirations in the building. So these are all good ideas. And, you know, I'm all for folks in the sports realm realizing the platform they've been blessed with. Who much is given, much is expected. And those that get that, whether it's as simple as taking the time to make a kid's day by signing an autograph, whether it's organizing a relief charity event like this, man, that's what it's all about. And so hopefully this is just tip of the iceberg when it comes to Kansas's involvement in things like this.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or give them a call, 738-5701. So did you ask Norm Stewart whether or not he actually spent a penny in the state of Kansas?
He was complaining to me about how he didn't have any money. I can't remember how it came up, what the context was. He was saying how he was only a $14,000 a year head coach when he first got hired, and some thought even that was getting paid too much, which was a self-deprecating joke on his part. I said, well, coach, that's because you never spend any money on our side of the line. We got all the good deals over here. You could have saved some money and had some retirement there. But now he was awesome. And I tell you what, I have so much respect for that man as the founder of Coaches versus Cancer. 25 years he's had involvement with that, and he was the original guy that got the ball rolling on all that. I just had a chance to be at the Coaches versus Cancer Gala about a month ago in Kansas City, and to see him now in his 80s, and you think about a guy that had over 700 career wins, I think it's 731 or something like that, and yet to me, his greatest legacy by far is Coaches versus Cancer, and the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars he's raised, and the coaches all over the country that fall in line with this each and every year. So I have a ton of respect for that man. And then he comes on our post game because David Lawrence just happened to see him standing over there with his hands in his pockets and said, man, this would be great live radio while we're waiting on Gurley to get Coach Self. He applauds Coach Self, says so many nice things about him, says Mitch Lightfoot might be his favorite guy on the KU team. That was interesting.
Hmm.
But then the best line of the whole thing was, he says, you know, in terms of Mizzou and KU and the animosity of no longer being conference rivals and everybody debating why won't KU play us, why won't they schedule us, he says, I remind our folks in Missouri all the time, KU's not the one that left now. Yeah. We are. So they have every right to be upset. And I thought, wow, he said that. That's awesome. So you love a guy that can, you know, let's, rivalries and loyalties aside, and just look at something rationally and look at the overarching spirit of the day, which is absolutely what we all try to do on Sunday. But I thought he was so gracious, and I just think the world of Coach Stewart. And that's probably enough of stroking him right now, because folks are going to get on me for applauding Mizzou too much. But hey, you know, you can certainly take your hat off to that guy when you look at all he's done from a humanitarian standpoint, in addition to everything he gave college basketball for all those years.
Well, that's a cool story. Speaking of rivalries, we had KU-Missouri this past Sunday, exhibition basketball. Now this weekend, Saturday in Lawrence, kickoff at 2 o'clock, and listen to it on Z96.3 The Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. This is Brian. We'll have the call that one. K-State comes to Lawrence, and we know KU struggled, been shut out the last two conference games, and only 21 yards of total offense against TCU. K-State had been struggling there for a while as well, and they are 3-4, but I had a chance to go to that ball game against Oklahoma, and I think there wasn't a soul on either the K-State or Oklahoma side that thought K-State had a chance of winning the game. And with 2:25 to go, K-State and Oklahoma were tied at 35 apiece. So Kansas, you know, is going to be up for this game. Of course, K-State's going to be up for this game too. And I think lost in the whole shuffle, I think a lot of people are focusing a lot on Kansas's struggles the last couple weeks, especially against TCU. A lot of people are focusing on K-State with a really solid performance against Oklahoma. But lost in all this is that I've heard somebody tell me, well, what's K-State's motivation? I said, well, first of all, you want to keep the in-state rival down as long as you can. That's the same thing with Coach Self and KU basketball against K-State basketball. But the other thing is K-State wants to be bowl eligible at the end of the year, and right now they're 3-4. They need this game pretty badly as well.
I know. I was just going to say, you almost buried the lead there. They got to win 3 of their last 5. I mean, this is an absolute must-win for K-State when you look at what they have left and how much they still have to go to become bowl eligible. Listen, in the same way that I just respected Norm Stewart and threw all kinds of roses his way, there's even more reverence and respect to the Big 12 Dean of Football Coaches and Bill Snyder and the incredible legacy, what he's built there at Kansas State. I mean, it's one of the greatest stories in college football history. And so however many seasons he has left, however many games he has left to coach, we certainly are always mindful when he comes to town, regardless of what the record is, regardless of what the trend is, and they're a misleading 3-game losing streak team right now, okay? Like anybody that says they're stumbling into this one, like you said, I mean, they were in it in the final minute, tied even with Oklahoma last week, and a couple of weeks before that, they lose by just 6 in Austin. So, yeah, the season hasn't gone the way they thought it would go, but Bill Snyder's still on those sidelines. There's still plenty of talent on this team. And we absolutely expect the fight of our lives against K-State this week in an effort where, quite frankly, they'll probably want it more than they've wanted it in some recent years, or feel like they have to get it. Maybe mm-hmm. that's a better way of phrasing it, more so than they have in recent years. Because they wanted it pretty bad last year in Manhattan. It was Coach's chance at 200 career wins. And they always are probably up for this rivalry, even more so than sometimes Kansas is, because Kansas historically would always kind of look to the east for their most bitter rival. But now that it's just these two every year, certainly the rivalry has intensified. And when you got one team on a 6-game slide right now and the other on a 3-game skid, they both have to have it. And for Kansas, there is no game remaining on the schedule that would do more in terms of getting things back to, you know, the arrow pointing upward and the momentum and all that, than beating your in-state rival on your home field and giving the home fans a chance to celebrate. Sure, you could say knocking off Baker Mayfield and OU at the end of the year at home would be great. But, I mean, here's a chance when you still have some life left in your season to possibly pull an upset that could be a springboard and maybe make one conference win turn into two with Baylor coming in the very next week. Here's a chance to, and in the midst of the Raise the Chant Capital campaign, and by the way, we're still having great donations coming in on that, which is really exciting, but here's a chance to let the rubber meet the road and put your mouth where your money's at, so to speak. And see these Jayhawks do something worthy of sticking their chest out and getting back in the winner's circle against a team that's won 8 in a row in this series. So there's a lot of opportunity out there for Kansas this week. No one win a season does not make, but This would certainly rectify a lot of wrongs and get a lot of bad taste out of the Jayhawks' mouths and the mouths of their Kansas fans for these last couple of weeks in which they've been shut out. And so I think they will empty the tank in terms of effort. I think they'll throw everything but the kitchen sink at K-State in terms of the playbook. I think they're pushing every button they possibly can right now to get this offense out of being stuck in neutral and back to what we saw in the first 4 weeks when they were pacing way ahead of what they'd done the previous year in every offensive category. It's amazing how much, you know, one or two key injuries can derail the whole ship when timed with a difficult part in your schedule when you're going up against a couple of elite defenses. Obviously, it's never an opportune time to lose an all-conference caliber center and one of the best tailbacks in the league. But, you know, to have that happen, and we still don't know Mason Liberty's status. Khalil Herbert's back. Liberty's going to be a game-time decision. But the shuffle that's led to on the O-line and just the total kind of dysfunction of the offense ever since certainly speaks to just how important Liberty is and how important it is to have a good pass-protecting offensive line when the quarterback you're playing the bulk of the time isn't the most elusive guy. It doesn't have as much escapability and extend the playability as the previous Kansas quarterbacks have had. So I'll be real curious to see what that looks like in terms of offensive line personnel this week and in terms of what the quarterback snaps look like in the Dylan Sunflower Showdown. But our guys still want this badly. And, you know, it's cliche to say this is our Super Bowl, but Wade, right now in this season, it absolutely is. So put a Roman numeral next to it. Let's roll out the balls and let's go get these guys on Saturday at 2.
Yeah, that and it's a rivalry game, and we know many times you can take the records and throw them out the window when you have rivalry games. We've seen this in various sports over many, many years. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Halloween is on Tuesday, if you did not know. And, yeah, I'm going to have to find a way to get down there so we can Miller and I can trick-or-treat and get candy from your house.
Sure.
So what I want to know is...
I get out frozen Snickers, by the way.
Frozen Snickers, that sounds good. I haven't had breakfast today. That sounds really good.
I bought 3 bags last week to prepare. Yeah. I only have half a bag left. I think I have a problem.
You're supposed to save a few for the kiddos, buddy.
Yeah. It's like, true story, it's a sidebar. I know we don't have a ton of time. I'm working out last night trying to counteract the Snickers.
Yes.
I dropped a 25-pound plate that I was putting on the bar on my left big toe.
Ooh.
May have broken it. And so I'm at home doing the ice and elevation thing. And I'm pounding the Snickers as if they're like medicine or something. I told myself in my mind, I'm rationalizing it, justifying it. Yeah, I need some more of that medicine. It's making me feel good, taking my mind off the pain. So, yeah, Snickers, not only a tasty treat, but also doctor approved if you have a broken toe. Back to your question.
Well, by the way, I can relate with that because I think when I work out, it's just counterproductive. I'm burning off the calories. And then when you get done working out, you're like, oh, hey, half price shakes. I think I'll have a milkshake. I deserve it. I've worked out. And it's like, wait a minute. You're
right?
That's just counterproductive, right?
And then it's got like, you know, 500 calories and all these grams of sugar in it too.
Yeah. It took you an hour to burn off 500 calories. And then, you know, in 2 minutes, you've downed 500 calories. Okay. Halloween's on Tuesday. What is the silliest, weirdest, oddest Halloween costume that you have ever worn or somebody you know has ever worn?
You know what? The best costumes of my life have all been in my adult life when I've had a lady in my life who wanted to team up on something.
Uh-huh.
1 year, we were Brett Favre and was it Jen Sturger? I can't remember the name.
Jen Sturger. Yes, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, there was some controversy.
Yes.
The Jets sideline reporter. He was the Jets quarterback. Uh-huh. Fill in the blanks. But I got the Jets jersey, the eye black, all that. She looked like her, which is why we picked the costume. Uh-huh. I don't look anything like Brett. He's way better looking. But I'm calling. But we had a good costume that night. But probably my favorite ever, different girl, different year, American Gladiators.
Uh-huh.
Storm and Gemini, and we had the spandex, we had the jousting sticks, we had everything. And if you grew up in the era that Wade and I grew up in, and you watched, you know, these gladiators, and remember the assault where they shoot those tennis balls at you like 110 miles an hour?
Uh-huh.
So we were the gladiators from that era, and I thought it was pretty baller. We'll put it that way.
That sounds pretty good. My wife sucked me into there was some costume contest. I think it was tied to Halloween. Locally, and I don't usually get dressed up for Halloween or anything like that. And she somehow convinced me or bribed me. I don't remember what she did, but she got this wig online so I could put on, and she wanted me to dress up as Richard Simmons. And so I dressed up as Richard Simmons, dude. And then 1 year, All I did was get this white trench coat, or not, you know, white sport coat, and I dressed up as Don Johnson, you know, Crockett and Tubbs with Miami Vice. and I didn't even put much time and effort. I just borrowed a sport coat, and then I wore the right shoes and socks, and I won third place in the costume contest. And all these other people probably spent $100 on their costume. I spent zero. So that was pretty sweet. I liked
it. Nice.
That. Yeah.
I think we need to publish the Richard Simmons photos on the Katy Country website.
Well, my wife has a few.
Don't you think, fans?
She has a few, and I'm sure she'll use them when she really needs to use them, if you know what I'm saying. So.
Right, right. Well, you know, we could tell the stories about how you get mistaken for Tom Cruise and show those pictures when you look like you're straight out of Cocktail. You can't show the pictures when you're looking like Richard Simmons. I don't get it.
I'm multidimensional. What can I say, Brian? I'm multidimensional. Hey, man, we appreciate the time as always, buddy. Enjoy it. Have a great call. KU, K-State this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
If we get this win, throw Miller in the car, come down. We're going to have a great time on Mass Street. I know he's underage, but we're going to party like it's 2008 or 9, all right? And we're going to get after them, okay?
And we'll get a few frozen Snickers. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, buddy. Thanks, buddy. Take care. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, as always, every Thursday, brought to you by fine folks over at Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.